Good evening. This is the NLA discussion group. It's where you, the participants, get to talk all you want about whatever topic you want. This meeting is held at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday nights. It lasts for about an hour. Sometimes we, if the discussion is going well, we let it stay for a little bit. If not, we'll close it down. So all of the opinions expressed, everything that's said is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of NLA, and the speakers for the NLA did not necessarily represent the NLA, but they try sometimes. So there you have it. This is an open forum. And right now we have Terry, Jan, and Tanya from California. So, Tanya, I can talk anytime I want, make a recording of it. I don't need it. So I think it's all yours. You want to? You got a subject you'd like to discuss? And you have Jan, the expert Jan, John's right-hand man, his man Friday. And you can ask all kinds of questions. Jan knows all. So I'll turn it over to you, Tanya. Go ahead. I just did an introduction, Terry, so if you want to talk, you can.
Hello?
We hear you.
Must have been something you said. He went away.
Well, who is it from the anonymous from California?
That's Tanya.
That says Tanya, but we don't know. It could be somebody else.
Well, that's right. That's anonymous.
That's an anonymous. So, anonymous, the floor is yours if you want to talk. Terry, it's all yours, too. Go ahead. I have a cold, and I keep blowing my nose, so I'm going to mute.
Hey, Terry, if you want to listen to that recording, I'll have to post it somewhere. It's about 32 megs. It's too big to email.
Right.
So,
what recording is that?
Last night's call.
No, don't put yourself out if you don't, you know, if you don't have to.
We need to come up with an easy way to move stuff. Now, is Skype limiting it now? Or can we send big files through Skype, Terry?
I don't think so.
You don't think they're limiting, or you don't think we can send them?
I don't think they're limiting.
No,
there's also Discord.
I thought that was their new face. They were going to limit file sizes.
Maybe.
Do you have Skype, Terry?
Unfortunately, yes, no.
Oh, you, excuse me. Let me mute.
I can barely pay attention, let alone, you know,
yeah,
add another service.
Let's see if I've got you on Skype.
Well, you wouldn't have me. You might have the other Terry.
Oh, you don't have it, huh?
No.
Okay, I guess I can't do that either then. That's why I send it out usually, because it'll,
right,
in the past it's taken any size that you want to ship, you know? I did a one terabyte. Took
wow,
a day and a half.
So you didn't upload, that's not a call that you would upload to the NLA
no,
website, all right.
No, it wasn't any one of the particular committees. It was just a meeting, go over stuff.
What was tonight's call supposed to be about? I think it was something similar, wasn't it?
Well, no, this is the open discussion where
oh,
anybody that comes in can
oh, okay,
come
I
up with
I saw
their
an email
topic,
that this was supposed to be, there was an agenda for the discussion of some sort.
Oh, well, I didn't send it. Did you, Terry? Terry from Colorado, that is? I didn't see one.
Well, I'm going to look it up if I can in my email, but you guys go on. How many callers are on the call tonight?
Very few.
Okay.
You, me, Terry, and Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, there's
Jim.
Jim from New Mexico.
We saved a time slot for you, Jim. Go ahead.
I had to finish a game of computer chess. That was real important. It was a draw, too. How many people you get tonight, fellas?
You, me, thee, and Terry, and Terry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll just listen.
That's what we're all doing.
The sound of silence, huh?
Well, that's Terry.
As long as nobody's bringing anything up, I noticed an interesting YouTube video from David Zublik, who's John has put a link on the website saying that George Soros is now in Guantanamo. Anybody else hear anything about that?
I heard he'd already been tried and executed as of today.
Yeah, you know, actually, that's what the video said, but
yeah,
when I started listening to it, it didn't actually, Zublik didn't actually say he was executed. He said he was in Guantanamo, so I don't know why they would make that, you know, allegation that he was already executed.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, unless you got, you know, one of the things that Zublik said a while back was that Trump has doubles. So when they arrest a big player, they put out a double that looks like him, and they appear in public here and there, so the public still thinks that they're okay. So the
yeah,
rest
well, they
of
say
people
that about a lot
away
of people. Hillary has doubles, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been 12 assassination attempts on Donald Trump.
Yep.
So, you know, you got to take all this with a grain of salt.
Well, I think the assassination attempts are real.
Okay.
He had three helicopters of his own crash this since he took over as president.
Right.
That's not a good record, good safety record.
Right.
And Pelosi was planning on doing him in so she could be president. She was going to take he and the vice president at the same time.
Who's that? Did you say Pelosi?
Yep.
Hmm.
But apparently they found out about it and they nailed the people who were going to do it. So. Makes a good story.
Yeah, and I could believe it, but it just sounds a little exaggerated, you know, the number of attempts.
Well, they're actually getting desperate, so I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, neither would I.
2 years now they've had, a little over 2 years and a couple months to work on it. Actually, once is too many.
Mm-hmm. I sent you a link from Lydia with regard to she wants John to do a writ of habeas corpus on this guy
Michael.
In New York. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know how familiar you
McMurray.
Are with this.
Yeah.
So, in any case, his case has gotten some publicity in the mainstream media, and what the judge did was he put a gag order on it. You know, I don't want to say too much about the guy. I'm not mentioning names or anything, but because of something that happened when he was being born is that he has a issues, and he, as a result of his insurance company or somebody's insurance company, paid him like $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, anytime anybody comes into some money and it goes into the judicial system, just like my father's estate, and my father's estate was nowhere near $2 million, but you know, you got a bunch of racketeers just want to grab it up, and they will do anything that it takes. So that's basically the motivation, is that they're trying to, well, I don't want to go into the details, and I'm not really that familiar with them anyway. But long story short, is they want to steal this money. There was what they're saying now is they're making up some stuff about his mother buying a house. Now, the house was supposedly maybe $600,000 or something like that, and the mortgage companies are getting involved, and they're not even sure how much of the mortgages there are, and they're trying to accuse her of embezzling the money from the kid's estate. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I got she and John together. I guess it was this morning. We spent about an hour going over it.
Oh, you do? Yeah, that's right. You were on the call. That's right.
Yeah.
So you're probably already familiar with most of this stuff. I didn't actually read the briefs. Probably going to do that later.
The first one's 49 pages.
Wow.
The second was 26, I think.
Right.
So some evening you have some time.
Yeah, exactly. A little light reading.
At least they're brief.
Yeah.
But that's becoming a big thing, is these guardianships, as we already know. So.
I think they always have been, pretty much, you know.
Yeah, you're probably right. We just didn't know about it back in the day when all this stuff was going on because, of course, you don't have all this YouTube and all this other stuff.
Yep, the leopard doesn't change his spots.
So what's going to happen? Go ahead.
That story about Benjamin and his mother, Russ Warner, they had to leave, go to Connecticut. That same thing you're talking about, Terry.
What's that? What are you talking about?
He was like the last speaker Monday night. He's the guy that his mother's been.
That's another guy. I think you're talking about.
Maybe I got his name wrong.
No, this is not the same guy. This guy had never been on an NLA call that we're talking about right now. The guy that you're talking about is Benjamin, I believe.
Right. I was saying that's like what you're describing.
Oh, yeah.
They see money coming into the courtroom and they take it.
Right, right.
It happened in my dad's probate case, so I was unaware, you know, that I just had crooks for judges right there making deals with the opposing lawyers.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I actually met the Attorney General of New Jersey a couple of months ago, and I told him a little bit about my case because this guy, his name is Gabir Grewal, okay, he's a Sikh, first, you know, Sikh Indian that has ever been appointed that position. So he's on this thing now. He started a conviction integrity unit in the New Jersey Attorney General's office. And so they're supposed to be looking into this stuff. So I see him. I live in the next town over from him. And I see him in this deli that we both go to. And I said to him, you know, I called out his name. And I wasn't sure it was him at first, but I figured, you know, it couldn't be too many of these guys around with the big turban and everything. So I called out his name, and he looked over, and I said, hey, you know, I walked up to him, shook his hand, and I said, you know, I basically gave him a compliment on what he's doing, what he's trying to do with these wrongful convictions. And then I started talking a little bit about how I was convicted in the same court that he was the, actually before he was appointed Attorney General, he was the prosecutor for Bergen County. The thing is, though, he got that position long after I had gone through this stuff with the other racketeers in the Bergen County courthouse. So, you know, he seemed interested, and he took my name, or I told him my name. He asked my name, and I got a number from him, from the guy who's supposed to be in charge of the conviction integrity unit, and I called him. He wanted me to send an affidavit or something to him, and which I've been meaning to do, but I've gotten so caught up with a bunch of other stuff that I put that on the back burner. But it's going to be interesting because, you know, that's what they did in my father's case, is that they wanted this property so bad. And the only thing my father really left was his house, you know. And so in order to get it, they had to remove me as co-executor, and they had to convict me. See, it all arises out of this thing with my sister, who was co-executor, and she was just like a pathetic loser, and she couldn't pay her bills and stuff like that, so she was just desperate to get the house sold so she could, you know, start you know, paying her bills. So she accused me of threatening her. And of course, what they did is they removed me as executor, and then they removed my sister, and I have six other siblings, and the judge wouldn't allow any of them to qualify as executor of the estate, which is a blatant violation of the law. So anyway, they had to, in order to, you know, but I wasn't giving up, so I filed an appeal of my conviction and my removal as executor. And my lawyer even said that I was evicted and removed as co-executor without even a passing nod to the principles of elementary due process. So he wasn't pulling any punches, but the judicial system is so corrupt, they just ignore that. You know, and even my appellate lawyer, with regard to the criminal conviction, he said that that I was convicted even before the witness took the stand, based on irrelevant testimony and what was it? Transition, irrelevant testimony and something else. A transitory threat, okay, meaning that it wasn't really even a serious threat. And my sister, of course, they put her up there, and she perjured herself. The prosecutor knew she was perjuring herself and didn't do anything. My lawyer was a moron, and I actually have filed a complaint against him for destroying my file, and that's supposed to be decided at the end of the month. So it's been a long, involved process, but they wanted this thing so bad, this estate so bad, if they would convict an innocent person of a crime they didn't commit in order to steal it. So this is going to be a test for Goober, when I finally file that affidavit and see if they're serious about, overturning these wrongful convictions. So anyway, I yield.
Good luck. I think they're all bar attorneys.
Of course,
like
they
somebody
are.
Was telling me about bar attorneys recently on Monday night. Something about a conspiracy there that started way, way back. Something to do with the hidden 13th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You're up on all that stuff, right?
Well, when you say the word attorney, everybody makes the assumption you're talking about a bar attorney. I don't know any common law attorneys out there except for maybe Brent. But then, of course, he's also a bar attorney, if I remember correctly. I mean, they won't let him in. They won't let him in the courthouse or practice or represent anybody unless he's a bar attorney.
Are you up to speed though on the hidden 13th Amendment?
I am familiar with it. There was a book written by Tupper Saucy, I believe it was.
That all these bar attorneys that are practicing, they actually are have lost their citizenship and can't practice, et cetera, et cetera. And they're the ones deciding whether or not the 13th Amendment, there was an original one that's been hidden or not, so the whole thing's a big racketeering, big time.
Are you familiar with Rod Class?
Not too much. Just what you guys praise him on here. 22 years or something fighting in court.
Right. Well, what he's saying is that these lawyers have no legislative authority. All these state legislators have not granted the bar attorneys any authority to do what they're doing. They basically usurped the power of the judicial system and for their own ends. And it's true because, for example, if you are a licensed professional in any state and you get in trouble for doing something wrong, for example, I'm a licensed real estate appraiser. And if you violate something, then you have to go before the state committee that oversees that thing, and basically it's all the same with regard to hairdressers or stuff like that. You have to get a license for all this stuff, and all this stuff is controlled by the state. But of course lawyers have their own committees, their ethic committees, and so on and so forth. And so the only ones who are disciplining them are members of their own club. And something really has to be done about that, too. I yield.
Maybe someday you can sue those people and get your money back.
Yeah, well, actually, that's kind of the plan here. But I would not do it in New Jersey. I'd file an action in Washington, D.C. Because not that they're necessarily any better in D.C., but I would not want to go try anything in New Jersey. I mean, I did actually file a federal civil rights lawsuit, and this corrupt federal court judge in New Jersey said that that I threatened my sister at gunpoint, you know, which is total BS. You know, he's made that stuff up. And he said that that there's no evidence of corruption or misconduct on the part of any of the parties, which is an interesting statement, considering he never heard any of the arguments, you know. See, that's the whole thing, another 12B6 motion. You know,
ex parte meeting with the witness and then convicting you without being there.
Right.
Yeah, it's all, you know, I mean, I'm saying if we ever find a Article 3 court again, you could sue for your damages there for a remedy, but
right.
When that happens, who knows? It may never happen in our lifetime, the way things are going.
Well, what I'm planning on doing next is I'm going to go, like I said, I'm going to file in Washington, D.C., but I've already exhausted all my appeals, but I'm going to do another action, all right, so I forget what they call it, but I'm not going to be suing anyone. I'm going to be filing action to say that the conviction was based on fraud, and it was, and so that way they don't have to defend themselves, okay? But eventually, if I ever get it reversed, or if they do grant the action, which is, like I said, I'm not suing anybody in this action. I'm just pointing out that the conviction was based on fraud, which it was, and if they grant that, you know, then I will go after these guys on another day. So, we'll see.
You guys ever heard of the Club of the Isle? Club of the Isles, that's the British Isles?
Not me.
Club of the Isles, it's supposed to be a group of 5,000 of the smartest, high-paid people on the planet who are there doing the thought process on how to take over the world. Under the authority of the Queen, the kingdom.
I don't think we want that.
It's in an article on the internet called British Empire Evil Bloody Genocide. It ends by saying that the Queen is not as innocent as she tries to appear.
Well, they've been saying that for a long time.
I like her.
Well, of course, they say that the British royal family is up to the neck in drug running, and I don't know how true that is today, but you know, of course, back in the day, they wanted to get all the Chinese and hooked on opium, which they did.
Well, they have what, diplomatic immunity anywhere and everywhere on the planet, don't they? So they can fly free. They got that freedom to travel privately anywhere they want to that we don't have. We have to get a license, insurance.
I'm looking at the Club of the Isles thing he's just said here.
British Empire, evil, bloody genocide.
Right. Yeah, even they're talking about it. The Brotherhood Cartel.
It's only about 3 pages.
Right. Looks interesting.
You know, and where something like that comes from and why they would leave it on the internet. True or false. If it was true, they wouldn't really want it on the internet. If it was false, they wouldn't really want it on the internet. So, the interesting captain. Go ahead.
Yeah, they mentioned they connect them to the Rothschilds, of course, who are probably the real. I don't know whether it's the Rothschilds or the royal family, but they probably pretty much work hand in hand.
Well, in history, they connected during Napoleon Bonaparte's reign, where he almost conquered Britain, and King of England actually, in a fearful moment, gave what money he had to the Rothschild banks to protect it, and we're joined at the hip from that point on, is the history I've seen.
Yep.
And, you know, Napoleon Bonaparte was captured, imprisoned, and then somehow he's released from prison, retakes power, military power in France, and then there's the Battle of Waterloo. And that's where Rothschild... in the stock market, takes control of all major assets in London and around by manipulating the market. They first said that Napoleon had defeated the British at Waterloo. It's all carrier pigeon type news back then. And so everybody saw Rothschild selling all his stock. Everybody sold their stocks, and then at the bottom, Rothschild buys everything up, and then in comes the news that Napoleon is lost and right. Britain is won. And that's the joining at the hip of the king and Rothschild right there, when right. they seize basically control financially of the country.
Right.
And, you know, that is the birthing of the whole thing. From what I've seen in research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much the way I heard it, too.
And if you've done it once, you can do it 100 times, you know, and that's happened to Wall Street many times.
Yeah, well, you know the famous quote by Rothschild, "I don't care who controls what government controls the country, just let me control the money." And then he could just buy anybody he wants. And that's pretty much probably what he's done.
Yeah, if we could just get men and women to not sell out for $1 million, that would all end. So, but you just can't talk people into not taking bribes. They like the money.
Anybody with integrity is very few and far between.
Yeah, I wonder what the percentage on that is.
The thing about it is they never let anybody like that get into position of power. With very few exceptions, I would say, like Ron Paul, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure Ron Paul ever had the exact charisma to achieve, you know,
yeah,
positions of.
He was a
Rand
good man,
Paul's
but he couldn't.
Rand win. Paul's kind of got the same problem. They just don't seem to have the charisma. Maybe that's out of wisdom, you know, to not push that hard too.
Right.
But the guy that he supposedly couldn't buy off is old George Patton. World War II days, and you know, he suddenly dies. in his diaries, he supposedly was resigning from the military, coming back to America to clean up the corrupt government.
Hmm.
And he was married to an extremely wealthy woman, so he couldn't be bought off. The guy spoke like 12 different languages.
Really?
Pretty amazing guy. I tell everybody to get a copy of the movie Patton by George, with George C. Scott playing his character. It's pretty,
oh, yeah.
Pretty
I've seen that several times.
Yeah. The more times you watch it, the more you read about history related, it gets more interesting the whole time. So you just see through the whole movie what Eisenhower's up to, how he's helping protect the lame Montgomery British commander, and, you know, tripping the legs out from under Patton the whole way.
Yeah, I remember when that came out. I was on travel out in California, and I had an evening to kill. So I see the movies, Patton's playing, and also MASH, the original MASH. So I went to see MASH first, and just had a really good laugh. And then I went in and watched Patton, and it was just a total inverse of what MASH was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good movie, though.
Well, he's an interesting man.
Yep, he really was.
And he was up on the whole giving Russia half of Berlin. He was well aware of what that meant, the Cold War. And, you know.
What was it he said? Give me a week and I can have a war going with Russia?
Let me finish the job with Russia, which would have been a strange thing because, you know, we gave them a lot of support. Like we, you know, I mean, the whole thing about Britain is like they would have been conquered if we hadn't given them the support we gave them. And
we supplied Russia and Britain.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, let's. Brass tacks is that whole war also was just a big money-making machine. Somebody said that was the last real war. Who said that recently? And, you know, it's
last declared war. We haven't had a war since. They're all police actions.
Well, I watched a little documentaries, and I pay more attention to the pictures of the dead bodies laying on the ground around the live soldiers, and, you know, whole families are wiped out. And like Iwo Jima, I was watching that recently, to capture that island, 5,000 Marines died right off the bat, American Marines, and... you know, they killed about 25,000 Japanese, but still, it's pure craziness. And just the whole thing.
Well, that's like General Grant. He says, I got more men than you, I'll trade you one for one, and I'm going to win.
Talking about Ulysses?
And he did. Yeah, Useless S. Grant, yeah.
I'm up on that story too, and people are they have a hard time listening, you know, to the real effects going on there. So that's where we find out that the 13th Amendment is ripped out, and here, let's put this other one in here and tell them we really want to take care of the black slaves.
That supposedly happened in the War of 1812, right?
They were trying to ratify the 13th Amendment when Britain creates the War of 1812. The story is to distract the ratification of the 13th Amendment. And one would ask, all right, 50 years after independence, why is a nice old king and queen in Britain, why are they starting a war again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean they really hadn't given up, you know, conquering their colonies and their subjects?
Yeah, yep. Supposedly, absolutely. Wasn't that about impressment, which is really not the truth, of course?
Not sure what impressment.
Well, they went through and burned Washington and burned the White House and burned every place there were records, hopefully to get rid of the,
yeah.
I'm assuming, the 13th Amendment, you know. You burn down the buildings and the documentation was in it, there it goes, you know.
Yeah.
And, enough of them survived outside of there.
There were the original constitutions of that 13th Amendment found around the country in various states up to 1860-ish. And the real culprit is old Senator George Michael. He used to silver tongue be on the Sunday shows telling us everything is really under control. We're really intelligent men. Don't worry about it. You know, there's Sam Donaldson and company. Remember George Mitchell? I said George Michael. George Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah. Yeah.
He's the senator up in Maine where they found, in 83, found the first Constitution dated 1826 with the hidden 13th Amendment. And he has a whole litany of explanations for what that is that change from moment to moment. Old silver-tongued George Mitchell, you know, the man in Washington, senator that we all can trust and depend on. And so we've got a stolen replaced document that involves all bar attorneys and government are unconstitutional. And if there, they immediately lose their citizenship. And so we're just going to sit back and listen to some of those bar attorneys tell us, oh, no, it was never ratified. You're mistaken. By the time it got ratified, there were more states, so they still needed more ratifications. And that's the kind of garbage Americans are willing to accept on every level, you know, like this 5G cell phone is fine, smart meters are fine, chemtrails are fine, glyphosates, Roundup is fine, GMOs are fine, Monsanto's a wonderful company, you know, right down the line. That's what we got. And I'd say we're all dying slowly from the results of it. I was looking today at pictures around the year 2000, and, then here comes 9/11, and I'd say we've been under attack heavy duty ever since on all the different levels, but it's still a slow kill. And in the end, you just got to, you know, lay it in the hands of God and, go with that. Could all just be actors on planet Earth in this time to play out that certain individuals can be as corrupt and absolutely evil as they are, and that's what it boils down to.
I just looked up something here, George Mitchell, 13th Amendment, and there's an interesting site here. Bear in mind that Senator George Mitchell of Maine and the U.S. National Archives concede this 13th Amendment was proposed by Congress in 1812. However, they explain that there were 17 states when Congress proposed the title of nobility amendment. That ratification required the support of 13 states. So there's a link here to it, and I'll give you the link is called...
don't have to. I'm pretty well thoroughly versed on that stuff. Some of these other fellows might want it.
Yeah. It's let.gov. rugnl. That's N as in Nancy, L as in Larry.
That's his second explanation. His first one was they didn't ratify it, and then he went on to the more states come in and need more to ratify, and, you know, he's just a goddamn liar. He's a senator. You know, United States, respect us. Let's, you know, senators and congressmen are having their meeting discussions, civility and respect for each other, and, you know, as they put on the show.
Caucus?
Congress. United States Caucus. Senate. Those guys, 535 of them. Mitchell was always on Sunday TV. He was always blathering away about, you know, it, explaining this, explaining that. So
it's interesting. It says here, what if implications if restored, if the missing 13th Amendment were restored, special interests and immunities might be rendered unconstitutional. The prohibitions against honors, privileges, it puts in quotes, would compel the entire government to operate under the same laws as the citizens of this nation without their current personal immunities, end quote again, honors. U.S. judges and IRS agents would be unable to abuse common citizens without fear of legal liability. And it goes on,
yep.
But this is very interesting.
The whole point is the definition of that honor, H-O-N-O-U-R, is that they have set themselves up, only bar attorneys qualified to run for office, to be judges, to hold those positions. We're all too stupid and uneducated to hold those positions, and that's what we got. And, you know, ever get the mass population to wake up to that fact right there, forget all the BS about, oh, well, it wasn't ratified, it was this or that. You know, you just look at the War of 1812. You just look at the what had been discovered. I mean, they found dozens of copies of the Constitution of the different states that show that. I mean, it's prima facie evidence. You know, what's George Mitchell going to say? He says, oh, well, I really think probably in all those 26 states, they all probably made mistakes and, you know, typed up the Constitution wrong. That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's absolute. You know, how it exists in this country, it's absolutely ridiculous, unfathomable, the level of complacency of the American, we the people.
Now you see how lethal the press can be when well controlled.
Well,
you'll never hear about it, you know.
I grew up in a broadcast NBC family. My father worked for one for 40 years, so I experienced that whole, there is a level of honor there, too. And, you know, you're in the early part of my life, you're with the group, and, you know, there are benefits to that, so. It's a monopoly in the broadcast business.
Yep.
It started out with different television radio stations in the cities. You know, most of them still exist in their ancestors.
Yeah, the problem is people don't believe it unless they hear it on the mainstream media.
Fred would just say, that's your opinion, Jim. I wonder if I hurt Fred's feelings the other day when I said he was right 85% of the time.
I don't know. Fred hasn't been back on, has he?
said he had a little. I like Fred. He comes up with ideas and theories that are real good and come out of the blue on a regular basis, things he says. So. Apparently frustrated recently. But that's his joke. That's free will. That's freedom of speech. This stuff about Robert Bristow, last I heard, you know, I personally wouldn't trust that judge any further than, you know, I could, I wouldn't want to be close enough to him to be able to keep track of him to make sure I could trust him kind of thing, you know. Putting your, suddenly having one judge pop out of nowhere that invites you into his private office and hear what's the problem and I'm going to fix it. You know, that's getting in the area of favoritism rather than that it just should, you know, flow like a courtroom should flow speedily. And I'm sure he's gone through all kinds of, sweat and blood over that, hoping don't kill him. These guys could care less about somebody's health, somebody's retirement, all that stuff. They're evil bastards. So I've told a few of them that. They want to get you. When you confront them with the truth, well, they want to get you. So. And I could name names, but I'm not going to make trouble where it proves nothing. It's the same crap you were describing, Terry, up there.
Right.
They're, you know, they are. They're the untouchables. Used to be Elliot Ness, but now they're the untouchables. Mm-hmm. So they can see an estate coming through that's, you know, if it's over $100,000, they can divvy it up with a couple of their buddy lawyers and, you know, drag it out, make a few decisions, and, you know, you get 33 1/3, I get 33 1/3, and if that plaintiff doesn't, you know, spit at us and curse us, maybe we'll give him 33 1/3, you know?
Yeah, it's not just estates, too. I mean, they just drag, you know, families through the mud with their divorce proceedings and just milk them dry. They've got scams on all levels in the courts.
Well, I did not know about removal to federal court when I went through my dad's probate 10 years ago, or I would have drug it into federal court. It might have helped.
So would I if I'd have known.
Back then it might have helped. Now I don't trust them at all. Right. I think they made the decision after Sandy Hook that nobody gets nothing. As I wrote on the NLA site one day, from what I could see. And they're still following that practice, so, which is why I wouldn't trust this judge who was supposedly helping Robert up there is, you know, and he got attacked the next weekend, so. Could just be a judge looking good, then he leaves town and get him while I'm gone, and you can't blame it on me.
Robert,
real simple.
Robert got attacked? Robert
Bristow,
well, you talking
hear,
about?
Yeah, you got to pay attention all the time to hear all these stories.
Right. So. Well, yeah, I know I missed a few of them calls, so I'm not really up to speed on that.
Looks like he decided not to speak out again here. He was going to talk, I think, a week or two ago, Jan, and then he disappeared. I think he probably made a personal decision that he didn't want to share what was going on at the last minute, because I got to know Robert pretty good there a year ago.
Yeah, you mean physically attacked? Because he's like in his 80s, right?
No, he got the police department attack kind of thing. That, you know, then boiled over into court, and then he's physically attacked by, you know, being exhausted fighting the government, you know, one man, and you are, I think he's mid-70s pacemaker kind of thing, which he said his heart got better. They turned it off. And, you know, it is the F word, what's going on.
It is.
And, you know, I always
I don't know if anybody else is.
Well, I always felt that some things can't be described any better than the F word.
Right.
But my mother would scold me if I used it, you know.
Right, right.
And I told her when I go, I says, I think there's one that's so bad, that's the only word that really describes it, Mom. So. And, Captain John, did you guys hear him last night?
Was he on? Because
are you allowed to listen to Captain John?
I tried to join the call, but I didn't hear any audio, so I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, he does have one of the most goofed up audio systems I've ever seen, and he's using a bunch of more expensive devices. It worked pretty good last night, though. But he goes into, you know, he's an ex federal employee, disaster, hurricane type stuff, and he goes into describing that. Well, come on, guys, Trump admits that he pulled some strings and did some deals underneath the table, but you got to do that to, you know, play with the big boys to make money. That's the only way you're going to do it, you know. And I'm just sitting there listening to this, you know, and not really going to make a reactive statement that I had no audio to make a statement. But, you know, the next day I'm going like, you know, where does that get any, you know, where does that get the whole movement? I guess I can be critical of that John sometimes, what he says. So, Nikki had something good to say, though. At the end of it, she kind of tags along with John wherever he goes. And she described at the end, she got into that our whole motor vehicle, the U.S. transportation system, that is the monetary exchange of the corporate government. And then she says, you take it all the way back to London, England, they had the same damn thing. It was called the livery system. And she explained it in more details than I can after listening to her one time. But, you know, Nikki's always coming up with some real research that's pretty good. Yeah, in other words, when it was horse buggy, they were controlling everybody's transportation there in good old England, in that they rolled over the same thing here with the transportation system. The fact that you have to get a license, the fact that you have to pay a corporation a lifetime payment insurance, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, she's very knowledgeable about the money system, and I always liked listening to her talk about it.
Well, she's pinpoint on the fact that the government is supposed to use real coin, gold and silver, and doesn't. She brings that up a lot. So I personally miss them on the way it used to be. So I think that everything was better off with the format that existed a year ago.
Yeah. Does he still have the same call-in number? Because I haven't listened in the last few weeks.
I only have the recorded part of the number. I don't have the live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that too. But I always try to listen to them live. That way you can ask some questions.
Right, you can talk right there. So I don't currently have that. Same thing with Gary Will's show. His call. You call it his show.
I know.
I think Fred said one night, you can't call it a show. It's a call-in. And, you know, when I was a youngster, I had my first little construction business when I was 22, all on my own, and various other little businesses along the way. And I found out when you're not making enough money one way, you can exhaust your energy dreaming up some other way to get things done, and it can be a complete waste of energy.
And, tell me about it.
I apply that to the way I operate now. Is if I see it as a waste of energy, I don't get involved in it from a life of experience. Like at the present time, I consider it pretty much a complete waste of time and energy to approach a courtroom. And would really love to, you know, hash out the right given a judge to hold you in contempt of court. I think there should be a plaintiff should have the right of filibuster whenever a judge goes into a contempt citation. You have a right to, well, right before that, when you're getting stonewalled, railroaded in the courtroom, can't get your common law court. And then when you demand it and the judge goes to the contempt, right before that, you should be able to have the right of filibuster where it's a standoff right there at least. So would never happen, but they do that in the Senate and the congressional legislatures to control things, filibuster. So. This is the way men treat each other. Women, too, nowadays. Women used to stay home and take care of the house, but now they're all over the landscape now.
Yeah, people are so distracted. They don't have the time to really study this stuff, unfortunately. They're all trying to make a living. You know, it's interesting because, you know, my father worked as a school teacher, and he managed to raise 8 kids on that salary alone. Oh, he did work part-time at a university library, but, you know, you can't do that anymore, you know. Everybody's just got their nose to the grindstone all the time.
Well, that's how they win. You know, is get the sharecropper. He's down there trying to, you know, plant his potatoes and to live off of, and he's got to give the king half of them. So he's got no time to, you know, figure out how to come up with a way to forge a sword and get enough other men with swords and fight the Roman guard with their swords that the king's got. Because the king cooked the deal with Rothschild and Napoleon Bonaparte and made a ton of money and has all kinds of swords. The 1913 monetary scheme is all about getting all kinds of swords, while the sharecropper is just trying to survive.
Well, it's getting to be about that time.
Sorry, I was muted there. I was going to say this.
I just want to know why all these I just wonder why all these NL meetings now, they start at like 8, at 7.05, 7.06.
Are those your friends?
Well, we started, Jim, but you weren't here right at the very start.
Well, that's why.
Okay, should I close it?
Your comment on swords I found interesting because there's a program now where they have contestants come in. I see there are three or four of them at a time, and they give them a pile of old scrap iron or some BBs and stuff, and they have to make a sword or a dagger or a cutting knife or some such thing. And it's kind of interesting to watch the process they have to go through to do that. You know, it's the old beating plowshares into swords sort of thing. And it's a lost art for most people in this country and around the world, but there are a few people that still pursue it. If you look, it's on History Channel, I think, you know. You might find it interesting to watch sometime.
What's
and
the
with
title?
That, why don't you... I don't remember, but you'll see it. I think it's something like Forged something or other on History.
Yeah, I heard of that. You know, there's actually another interesting documentary on PBS about how they made those breastplates from the medieval era, the coat of armor, and how they blew the armor so that it wasn't silver. So, anyway, I just thought I'd pass that on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's metallurgy.
Yep. Okay, right, I'm going to turn off the recording.